Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Clarkfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I've got Tom Mendocino, whose first novel, Probation, hit in 2010 and won the big Lambda Literary Award with Yay, Yay, Yay. And now he's come out with a second novel. I'm going to call it a young adult novel. We'll talk about that later. It's called Casey at the Bat. It's about love, lust, and a summer of baseball. Good evening, Tom. How are you?
Hey, Nate, how are you? First of all, I want to give a shout-out to my friend David Pratt. He won the Lambda Literary Award.
Oh,
I was a nominee and a runner-up, so I don't want to take that glory away from David.
Oh, okay. Well, David's been one of our guests, too, so that's okay. I thought you won. Okay, I've got my notes always are, at least I made you up and not down, right?
Right.
The librarians
gave me an award. So.
Okay, great. Oh, well, that's even better. They read. Anyway, I love this book. It's a great summer read, listeners. And first of all, I want to say Casey at Bat. I'm going to do my first commercial. It's available, of course, in physical paperback, trade paper, or your Kindle or any device you want to read it on. You can get it from queerbooks.com, Q-U-E-E-R, books.com, one word, and also at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, TLA, I think just saw it on Books A Million. I've been playing around this afternoon. So it's available anywhere. It's a great summer read, so pop it on your Kindle and go down to the beach or the pool. Okay, let's get
started. One thing,
go ahead.
Nate, it is an e-book only. There is no print version at this point in time.
There is no print version? Oh, my God, I saw
no print version.
Oh, I'm having...
Oh, well, you'd have to ask my publisher that.
I will, because I know your publisher. Okay. All right, so pop it on your Kindle and go down to the beach. It's really 99% of all books are being sold. All the good ones are on Kindle, smart folk. Okay, let's get into the young adult question. I call this a young adult novel. To me, it was a perfect coming-of-age novel. Very kind of reminiscent of, if my readers are old enough, my listeners are old enough, of A Separate Piece or something like that. A lot of fun stuff. You can really feel yourself, see yourself in this. What about you, Tom? Did you set out to make this a young adult novel?
No, actually, I had no intention, and I had never even thought of this being a young adult novel until about 2 weeks ago. And about 2 weeks ago, I was told that Lee Wind was going to be blogging about it sometime in September on his blog, We're Here, We're Queer, What the Hell Do We Read? And I was thrilled to see that he accepted that, but that was the first time I actually thought of the book as being a young adult novel.
Really? Okay. Because I think of all... You know, they are teenagers. They're in high school, about to go to college. I guess that last summer of love, which everybody, I mean, that's like every Troy Donahue, Sandra Dee movie. You know,
we're dating ourselves.
Okay, well, every young summer love movie. I know my listeners are a little younger than I am, so I know that from my demographics. But really, I felt it was, and you said that the sex was too graphic, and I have I've read the book more than once because I wanted to make sure I understood it, and I really didn't see anything that graphic. What happened?
Well, I actually believe, and I've been told this before. I've been told this by friends who were librarians that it's a very, very fine line between what is acceptable in a young adult novel and what is not acceptable. And I was told by a friend of mine, penetration is not acceptable. And you've read it twice. There is penetration in Casey at Bat.
Oh, there is. You're right. And you know what? I didn't even – but there's – is that the same thing for heterosexual? Does it hold the same true?
I don't believe it does, because I assume, I don't know much about heterosexual young adult, but
right.
I do believe, from listening to my colleagues at work, the things their daughters are reading, that the the characters in these are sexually active. So I think that it has to do, they were specifically referring to penetration and gay sex.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought. I know that there is a double standard with the American Library Association LGBT roundtable. They've been trying to get around it, but it's for 40 years and it's still there. But yes, you're right. I do know for a fact. I have read straight young adult, and it does have penetration, but it's not anal, of course. It's vaginal, so we don't have that in gay world. So that's fun. Okay, so we got Charlie and Casey meeting on the moving truck. Young love, kind of like, oh my God, is he or isn't he? And then they have the frat boy wrestling scene right out of any young adult novel, and we end up with a budding love affair, which is just a bittersweet one, of course. But how different was it writing this novel than your first one, Probation? Let me take the listeners through Probation. Probation is about a gentleman who was arrested for solicitation in a public restroom. He's married, has a couple of kids, works for his father-in-law's business, risks everything for this sex in the bathroom. He has to be on probation for a period of time before it gets expunged. And the book takes you on this psychological, deep, deep psychological thriller, almost like a doubt. Almost, you almost think you're watching a play when you read Probation. And when you read Casey at that, it feels like a summer movie. How did you switch gears?
Well, to put it all into context, between Probation and Casey, my publisher asked me to contribute to a collection of novellas about Christmas. And the book was called Remembering Christmas, and
right.
I was in it with Frank Anthony Polito, and I don't recall the other author at this point in time.
Uh-huh.
And in that story, too, mine was called Away in the Manger, and it was another story about a middle-aged man who finds himself stranded in a snowstorm who takes up the much younger man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall whether it was in a review of that novella or a review of Probation, but somebody called me the Bard of Middle-Aged Gay Men. And I thought, And I thought, is that all I can do? And I sat down, and I'm actually working on another full length now. And how KC came about was my publisher wanted to keep my name out there. So they asked me if I would participate in this project they have doing called E-Shorts. And I said, sure, that sounds interesting. And I decided that I was going to do something completely different. And this time, I've always been captivated by coming-of-age stories. Red Sky at Morning is one of my favorite books, as is The Last Picture Show. And I decided to give it a try.
Good. And you did a great job. You really did a great job.
Thank you.
Okay, real quick, Albany. Why did you choose Albany? And I'll tell you why I think that's interesting. Go ahead. What was the...
Nate, do you want to know the real answer to that?
I have no idea.
I don't know how I chose Albany. I wanted a small city, and I wanted it to be in the Northeast because the change of seasons plays out in this, too.
Sure.
It was just completely arbitrary.
Good. Well, it's interesting.
I haven't been to Albany for 20 years, so I hope I got it right.
I couldn't tell you. I don't think I've been in Albany ever. I've been up there nearby. Well, what's interesting is you're familiar with I think it's Richard Stevenson is his name. He writes the Dennis Strachey gay detective novels. They're all based in
right,
Albany.
Right.
Yeah, which I think is hilarious. I thought, well, maybe he knows Richard Stevenson, you know, or maybe he's from Albany. I wanted, because, you know, it's a disproportionate number of gay books now are based in Albany. I think there's another series that mentions Albany. So I thought, what is it with Albany and gay things? Okay. I'd
like to say
question.
I stuck a pin in the map, but I didn't.
Okay, but I'm just curious. And the other thing is, what's with Ricky Nelson? Are you a Ricky Nelson fan?
Ricky Nelson and I share the same birthday. We were both born on May the 8th. And am I a Ricky Nelson fan? I am a Ricky Nelson fanatic. My partner is so sick of listening to those same 26 songs over and over again. But I think it's the birthday connection. That's really all we have in common. I certainly don't look like him, and I sure can't sing like him. But that's the Ricky Nelson connection.
That's hilarious. That is so funny. I'm an Elvis fan, so it's even worse.
Every year on my birthday, I change my profile picture to a portrait of Ricky Nelson and keep it up for 4 days.
That's funny. Well, my partner has I love Elvis, so he's got like thousands of albums. So it's more than 26 songs. He's got a lot more. That's a private joke. You gotta download the book and read it to find out what we're talking about. Gays and athletes. Boy, did you pick a good season for that. I'm sure you had no idea when you wrote KC at Bat that this would be the summer, the spring and summer of Jason Collins, Brendan Iambideo. Notice I said that correctly because I've met him, Chris Cluey, and of course Hudson Taylor being so active with Athlete Ally. Are you amazed at the gay athletes and the support of gay athletes? It's just in the past 90 days. Is that amazing?
I'm a bit skeptical at this point in time. Uh-huh. And I've always believed that of the four major sports, surprisingly, baseball is the most conservative. Uh-huh. I think that it will be a long time before an active Major League Baseball player comes out. Of course, I'm glad when anybody comes out and they get a lot of love and support, but I think people may be overreacting a bit to thinking that there's going to be this huge surge of acceptance.
Right. Well, because you are dealing with, and I'm going to interject a little personal thing here. I worked with Equality Florida here in South Florida. Brendan Iambideo, the Super Bowl champ from the Baltimore Ravens, has just joined us down here. And he made a very interesting – I had lunch with him a few weeks ago, and he made a very interesting comment that parallels yours. He said there are very small proportion of people that are professional athletes that haven't grown up in America's smallest bubble, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, professional soccer or hockey. The elite of the elite, which is the only people you see, the 1,500 out of 300 million people, or about of the 6 billion people that live on this planet, those people have been coddled ever since they've been about 12 or 13, including himself. He says this of himself. You rarely see other people. You work out with your teammates. You have the coaches, which are terribly homophobic and very sheltered. You live in a 60 to 80 person bubble for 20 years. And he said it's a very difficult thing to speak to them about equality or politics or anything else. And he said it's a very long road. His particular shoehorn. I don't know if you know this, but I asked him, why are you so interested in gay athletes? He's spending a lot of money and a lot of time traveling around the country. He was on ESPN today. He's been on CNN constantly, and he said he didn't know. He lived in Maryland, right, Baltimore Ravens, and he had to have a personal connection. His personal connection was he did not know. Get this. He did not know. He's 37 years old. He admits this. He did not know till Maryland's marriage equality controversy came up that his own parents, who are one's white and one's black, like Barack Obama, could not have gotten married until 1972 because of the anti-miscegenation law, Loving versus Virginia, took care of that. So when he found that out, he became an advocate. But until then, he couldn't care less. So I agree with you that it's a long, long road, but it's interesting.
Puts a lie to the cliche that all athletes are dumb, because those are very insightful comments from him. And I will say this, somebody had asked me, they said that Casey felt like it would have a sequel. Casey is conceived as three related novellas following these two boys as they become young men. In the second book is solely about Casey and about his experiences when minor league baseball finds out that he's gay.
Oh, wow.
And they're not pleasant.
Very cool. I was going to say that we're going to get back to your book for my political rant. Sorry. Your book ends, of course, with the big, oh my God, there's a sequel. I mean, you read the last sentence and you go, that's the first thing that comes into your mind is it begs for a sequel. And that's great because you want the characters are deep. The characters are getting complicated. Both of them are. They started out pretty simple, but as the novella goes on, the characters do get more complicated. Their feelings do deepen, not only for each other, but their insights in the world. So yes, we want to see more of both Charlie and Casey.
That's great, and I encourage everybody to download it, to tell their friends to download it. It's very inexpensive to download. It's cost of a cup of coffee because my publisher will only publish the sequels if this one sells.
That's great.
It's a business.
Come on out there. Yeah, and we're going to talk about the business right now. You mentioned I made a mistake. I thought for some reason, from looking at the cover, your cover looks so professional, I thought it had been a usually when the covers are very professional, they look that come from the
trade. You
want
to hear a funny story about that cover?
Sure, go ahead.
That cover, there is a young man, I work in a hospital, and there is a young man who was working, just beginning to work in human resources. And I just had no idea that he had a love of and a flair for photography. And he showed me his portfolio, and he'd only been using a camera for about 6 months. And I was knocked over by his work, and I said, how'd you like to do your first professional job?
Wow.
He said, absolutely. So that was done by a very young man, those two of his friends sitting at a local baseball field, and I think he did a great job.
He did a fabulous job. I honestly thought that was a professionally done, you know, Chip Kidd type. You know, Chip Kidd is, he's the famous, he does all the big boys, gay books in New York City for...
that is a compliment.
He works for Albert Knopf. He does David Sedaris and all those others, I thought, for sure, because you couldn't see the faces, it had a little shadowing, it looked a lot like his. So I really thought it was professional, and I felt that by looking at it, I said, oh, somebody put some money into it, therefore it must be a pickup book, and a pickup book is usually a hardcover. But that's great, because it works as a thumbnail, and it'll work as that. So guys, everyone listen, go again. As I said, they've marketed this book at a very low price. The reason is not that it's short, it takes a while to read, but it is part of a series, and I want you to all support people like Tom, who have worked really hard to make gay literature something other than the angst, the death, the same old. So it really is. I think it's just a novel, and they happen to be gay. This is not. I wouldn't call this a gay story. I think the gay part is kind of a secondary because you've got all sorts of family issues that have nothing to do with being gay. You've got family drama, you've got illness, you've got choices to be made, whether, you know, of course, you know, 18-year-old children have tons of choices, and you think they're all just minor, but when you're going through it, when your loved one goes away to another college, that's a big deal, and you've made it feel like the big deal, even though looking back, you know, 30 or 40 years, that really isn't something that you think is a major step in your life.
Nate, you're absolutely right about that, and that is called Book One, Hello Mary Lou. The second book is called Traveling Man, and it is over the top gay, because I really wanted it to be over the top gay, because people are beginning to be afraid to write stories that are gay based because they're afraid they're not going to get published.
Right.
And there's some truth to that. So that's why I wanted to do it. And hopefully I'll prove some of those thoughts wrong.
No, but I think you're appealing to the millennials on this, because the characters are dealing with things other than coming out. I mean, they're dealing with their families, their crazy families, their abusive families, their sick families, their aging families, you know, so there is something else other than the gay thing, which is we need to write about that, and we've written about that, but you went a lot deeper and broader than that, and that's why I commend you for that. Is this autobiographical at all? Come on, here comes. Spill the beans.
No, actually, there's funny. This one is, if the book is dedicated to my uncle who died several months ago. He was a dispatcher at a moving company, and he did put me to work. Moving furniture, and I was a tiny little kid. Nobody who sees me now would believe that. And that's how I spent the summer between high school and college. Other than that, the only thing that is autobiographical is that the character of Casey is based on my cousin Jimmy, who was a superb athlete who actually did ride the trucks with me that year. It's all fiction. One that I usually get asked is the story. Is this the story of your life? Is probation? Right. And I have always said that that is so far from my life. I have been out since I was 20 years old, and I have never been married. I've never been arrested. That completely came from my imagination, with the exception of the characters of the parents who were based on my own parents.
Maybe if you'd been the Jesuit priest, we don't know. Hope I didn't give anything away. Okay. I do ask that of people, and I get it. I get a lot of that, and there are, you know, there are people that write what you know, and there are other people that write what they feel. And as I said, your feeling of the feeling in probation, even though the characters are set in a very closed thing, you know, he's on probation, he did this, he's got a wife, you know, everyone has to hate who they're supposed to hate, everyone's supposed to love who they're supposed to love. You know, the dark question is why do people do what they do, what makes us do what we do, and that's what I felt when I read Probation, is that, you know, why do we do the things we do? You know, why do we, you know, for some of us it's binge eating, for some of us it's, you know, buying shoes every week, and for others it's going to do some other self-destructive things. You know, the worst thing that's going to ever happen to me is I'm going to probably, you know, get fat from eating ice cream. So, you know, that's my deep
thought. That's a wonderful description of probation, and I appreciate that. I think that's a very good way to describe it.
Yeah, I think that's the nutshell, and that's what makes me want to talk about it, because I think people want to read books like that. I think that's that's what we ache for in our visual download, YouTube, watch a video, you know, get distracted type world. I think we want those big, broad questions. How do you know what you know? Why do you do the things you do? You know, what does it feel like, you know, to lose someone at 18, or to have a loved one go away and you may never see them again, even though it is your first love, or your first stumbling love? And you do a great job at stumbling love. That's what I was going to ask you about. Was this your experience with your first love, like stumbling a little?
Oh, my first love. I think I'm still married to my first love. We've been together since 1979. I did have a boyhood crush. His name, I can say his name because he's no longer with us. His name was Brian Wilkins. He was electrocuted as a young kid. And somehow we discovered each other, and we had a playful but very deeply emotional relationship. Whether that was love, I think I was too young to love somebody, but there was a closeness there and a harmony with him.
Okay, because the writing in Casey at that is it gets very oh my God, I was just like that when the two guys get together the first and second time, the kind of like playfulness, but really nervous. I mean, the the stump. As I said, it's stump. I call it stumbling love, and it's kind of cute. We're all like that.
Well, it's interesting. What I think what's inspired me. People know, that know me, and some people who know me are listening to this. Know that I have this almost. I have this extremely strong attraction to wounded birds. And that really, Casey is one of the characters, I won't say which, I'll let people discover that for themselves, is truly a wounded bird. And that's how the story evolved, just from his emotional state.
Sure, sure. Sometimes the strong athletes are the wounded ones. That's great. That's a great theme. Okay, so here we come to the part of my interview that I love the most. Okay, you are out in public at a fabulous book signing. Thousands of people are there. They bought your book. They're sold out, blah, blah, blah. Okay, young kid comes up to you. Young, scrawny child, 18 or 20, looks to you and says, I want to be just like you. How do I do it? How do I write my first book?
Oh, boy. Oh boy. It's funny. I would say to him two words. Do it. Because I had an opportunity as a very young man. I had two mentors. Sadly, they're pretty forgotten now as writers. One was Jerry Mangione and the other was Mark Harris. Mark Harris may be more well known because he did Bang the Drum Slowly. And I had written a lot then, and Mark Harris had actually introduced me to his agent, and she took me on as a client, and she made some suggestions, and I was very young and very stupid and thought I had written a piece of art and would not make the changes that she suggested. Well, I mean, she had enough of me, rightfully so. And for somehow, I drifted away from it. And I drifted away from it for about 20 years. And the woman that I dedicate probation to, one of the two women, her name is Rachel Clayman. And she and I go back many, many years. And she lives in Brooklyn, and we happened to be in a bookstore one day, and we're just, browsing around. And she says wistfully, I always thought that one day I'd look down on a table and see a novel by Tom Mendocino. And I felt terrible when she said that because I knew I'd had these opportunities. And I went home that night and I started to scribble for the first time. And I always tell people that are aspiring writers, don't wait for inspiration. Just sit down and do it every day. And I don't know where the state of publishing is going. I don't know how difficult it's going to be to find agents, whether you'll need them, what self-publishing is going to do. But as for the work itself, just do it.
Okay, good. Yeah, because that does come up, by the way, when you're out in public a lot. I've seen it and I've heard it. Okay, next question. I've already asked part of it, but you've talked about you're going to be writing the other two parts of this trilogy. Are you going to go back to some of the themes in probation or something bigger, deeper?
No, probation was a very complete story for me, and people have asked me whether there will be a follow-up, and I said no. He's not Rabbit Angstrom. What was interesting about him as a character was his dilemma. Once he solved his dilemma, he was just an ordinary guy. There will be no follow-up to probation.
Okay, I just asked. Also, the I also thought that the character of the Jesuit priest, I could have listened to him a little bit more, but, I'm just giving you thoughts here,
He had a larger role, and it was I now take my editor's suggestions and my agent's suggestions. So his role was called a bit, but there was more to that character in the beginning.
Right. Oh, okay. Because it seemed like there was more. I just asked that question because it felt like there should have been more. We have 1 minute left. I told you it would be the fastest 30 minutes of your life. So I want you to. I'm asking you, what do you want to say as far as your good night tonight?
I would just say, people, please keep reading and please keep buying books because in a world where everything is visual and everything is gadget oriented, the written word is still the most important thing to me.
Okay, thank you again. Queerbooks.com, Casey at that, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite independent bookstore. We are at the end. Good night, Tom. Have fun tonight in Philly. I'm in Fort Lauderdale.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Boing. Boing.